Merry Christmas. Or I guess for Ingrid and Sebastian, Feliz Navidad, right? It is Christmas time, and people around the world are wishing one another a Merry Christmas. Today is the fourth Sunday of Advent, and our Advent theme, as indicated on the cover of your bulletin, as well as our focus this morning, and the fourth candle being lit, is that of love. Now, Advent, the word itself, means arrival or coming. So when we're speaking of observing Advent, we're looking at the coming or the arrival of Christmas, but specifically the arrival or the coming of the incarnation of Emmanuel, God with us, the birth of Jesus. Of course, when we speak then about the second advent of Jesus, that refers to his return when he comes in the clouds and when he comes in his glory. And one or two of our growth groups in the new year will be studying the epistles of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, where Paul addresses this certain future hope and reality. But for today, I want us to draw our attention to the first advent, or to the arrival, to the coming of love. Christmas has been called the season of love, and while others might argue it's the season of greed, or the season of credit card debt, the season of unwanted fruitcake under the tree, or a season of indulgence, the season of TV specials of a Charlie Brown Christmas or a Mr. Magoo Christmas, other themed productions and shows that are shown only at this time of year. But I'm convinced that love is really the theme that permeates the Christmas season, the Advent season. I see this in a number of different ways. Love floods the season through the advent of Christmas lights and decorations. Now, I think that we were one of the, I'm not here to say this to brag, just that it was a beautiful day, and I put the Christmas lights up early, because I really don't like doing that when there's that bitter wind coming across, and we get that right on our front doorstep, living there on Walker Road. But, you know, we were the first ones to get it up, but now there's plenty of lights. Lots of lights up and down the street. Joanne and I went for a drive a few nights ago just to see what others have done and to think, wow, we could do a whole lot more with our lights. But nevertheless, it's nice to see that. And it just kind of, you know, that's part of our Christmas tradition here in North America of putting up Christmas lights, whether it's around the trees or around the eaves trough or on the Christmas tree inside the home. And there's just something about the Christmas lights, and we have a little bit of snow right now, but husbands, guys, you know what? If you really, really want to woo the heart of your wife, then you need to go take her for a walk and observe the Christmas lights. There's just something about doing that that just, there's that love, you know, you're holding hands, you're bundled up. It's a beautiful thing. And so, yes, guys, trust me on this, okay? It works. It works. You don't lose any masculinity by doing that, okay? It's great. It's wonderful. So yes, we see love through the advent of Christmas lights and decorations. Love also infuses this time of year with the arrival of food. Now, President's Choice, those tins of cookies, and of course the candy cane, crackle ice cream, and of course, you know, we look at turkey dinners and all the works. Now, I was kind of surprised to see that there was actually a leg of lamb in the fridge, in the freezer over in the church house, and with letters, do not eat, unless your last name is Henderson. And so you don't have to stick with the tradition of turkey, and you can have lots of different foods, but, you know, it's the advent of food, special foods, and the preparations and the anticipation, the talk that happens around the table. Maybe you open up those Christmas crackers and you wear the little, you know, hats and that. But it's, you know, the arrival of food. That's, again, something that we love, we enjoy. We also see that love permeates the season with the advent of snow and school vacation. Now, I know that the children that are here in the room love school. I know you do. But I also know you love Christmas vacation. And now you have 2 weeks off. Hopefully there'll be some snow that falls so you can go sledding, tobogganing, snowmobiling, whatever you like to do, skiing. But again, you know, it's like, well, we get to love those 2 weeks off. So even with the snowfall and school out, we sense this love, this feeling. Love invades the Christmas season with the advent of gifts. Whether you enjoy giving gifts or receiving gifts, that is also an expression of love. Gifts under the tree, maybe gifts in the tree. Have any of you heard of the Christmas pickle? Anyone? I know some have, yeah. That's a tradition that we've started. I forget now whether it's what country that it originated from, but there you had a pickle in the tree, and whoever finds the Christmas pickle gets a special gift, or gets an extra gift. And so there's some incentive there. It's like, oh, where's the pickle hiding? Joanne, this is the only personal story I'll share today, but Joanne loves gifts, and if you say don't look in such and such a place because there's a gift for you, well, you just open the door wide open and she'll go, and it's not a flaw. I mean, that's how God has made her, and she enjoys that. Well, when we first were married, we lived in this small basement apartment, and I had to figure out, what am I going to do with my gift that I have for her? And so I had it wrapped, and I put it in a plastic bag, and then I stuck it in the laundry hamper, and she did find it. She even did the hot and cold thing, and she had no idea it was there. But for Joanne, she just loves receiving, but also giving of gifts, and I imagine most of us fall in one of those two categories. I see love saturating this season as well by the advent of donations. Food banks rely upon the generosity of people who have in order to feed and care for the people who have not. And just in the Toronto Star, I was reading this story about a gentleman who came over from Iran, had no place to stay, nothing to do, and they ended up at the Scott Mission in Toronto, and they helped him and his family when they first arrived. And now he's settled in. He's a successful businessman, and as the story goes, his car broke down right in front of the Scott Mission. He was reminded about how helpful he was in this time of need, and he came and brought hundreds of turkeys and handed them out to people who needed them. We know of the Mervish family, and they do that as well during Christmas, and they hand out hundreds of turkeys. Caledon Community Services collects food and toy donations to help families here in Caledon. You hear the jingle of bells about the Salvation Army kettle and all the good work that they do. And people give at this time of year a practical expression of love to people who are in need and to organizations who they know will be able to do good for those people. And these are all practical expressions of love and compassion that really does fulfill Jesus' command to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love infiltrates the season with a focus on an arrival of family. This past week, my sister and her friend flew in from California, and so I had the joy, yes, of waking up at 6 in the morning to find out her flight was delayed. I could have slept a little bit longer. She arrived about 7:40 in the morning, and we had a nice reunion and a good chance to talk and catch up before my mom and dad came down from Orillia to take her back home. We know that Rick and Audrey, they're out in British Columbia with family. I'm sure it's Callan coming home. Is she home already? Yeah, all right. And now she's been down on the East Coast in the States, right? Boston? And I'm sure there's many others that you know, or maybe you yourself are going to travel and visit family and spend that time reconnecting, enjoying each other's fellowship. And it's just, again, another example of the love that is part of this season. Yet we also acknowledge that, just thinking about family, that there will be some sorrow this particular Christmas because there's been a death in the family. And we think of Fred Henderson, whose wife Audrey passed away not too long ago. Cindy Dixon and her mom recently. Jill Fiennes and Cody, his grandfather, passed away about 2 weeks ago. We remember as well the Hardings, the family that live just down the street, whose daughter was killed this past March. And so they're going to have, yes, a celebration of family, but it's also going to be filled with sorrow as there's that empty chair around the table. But this is a time for family to come together and to show their love. Love is the theme of the Christmas season for another more profound reason, and it's because of the advent of a Savior. In Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 11, we read that the angel said, "Don't be afraid. I'm here to announce a great and joyful event that is meant for everybody worldwide. A Savior has just been born in David's town, a Savior who is Messiah and Master." But why is the arrival of a Savior a demonstration of love? Why not a politician or a motivational speaker or even a talk show host? Well, the reason why is because a Savior is what we needed the most. That's why a Savior was born. When someone is lost, they need to be found. When someone is sick, they need to be healed. When someone is drowning, they need to be rescued. But how does a Savior, a baby, Jesus born in Bethlehem, how does that demonstrate the arrival of love? Well, we see that through Jesus' incarnation. If you have your Bible, turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Just a few verses here, and then I'm going to go over to John chapter 1. So if you find both those, stick a finger in one. We see Philippians chapter 2 and verse, I'm going to start at verse 3b. Now 3, "Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant." Wow, the Creator taking the form, or in the likeness of his creation, the form of a servant, the form of a man. In John 1, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." And in verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." The Word, of course, a title for Jesus as the communication and the revealer of God the Father. So we see the advent of love through Jesus' incarnation. We see the advent of love through Jesus' service. He loved the unlovely. In his life, we read countless stories of him giving sight to the blind, healing the lame, rescuing those who were demonized, giving hope to the hopeless. And he regularly showed compassion and love to everyone he met, those he visited, those he taught, those he walked with. After all, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but those who are sick, is it not? And so we see Jesus' love through his ministry. He loved the unlovely. And we also see the advent of love through Jesus' humility, through his sacrificial death. Philippians 2, 7 through 8. "He made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And then in Hebrews chapter 2, starting at verse 5, "Now it was not to angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking. It's been testified somewhere, 'What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet.' Now, putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside his control. And at present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him. But we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one origin. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, 'I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation I will sing your praise.' And again, 'I will put my trust in him.' And again, 'Behold, I and the children God has given me.' Since, therefore, the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who, through fear of death, were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." This is the love that shows clearly in the pages of Scripture. The love, the advent of love through the Savior, through the birth and the person and death of Jesus Christ. Jesus himself said that this is the very best way to love, and that is to put your life on the line, or to give your life for your friends. Jesus said in John chapter 10 that the good shepherd whom he identified as himself lays down his life for the sheep. The implication, because others won't, the hired help won't do it, but because the shepherd has that vested interest, has that care and love for the sheep, he will defend. He will step in front of that bear or that wolf who comes to attack the sheep. And he was willing to die for us. We see this type of love occasionally in our world, but most recently in the tragedy at the Sandy Hook Elementary School, where we read of Anne Marie Murphy, 52 years of age, died trying to protect her young students. Her body was found covering a group of them as if to shield them. Also of young teacher Vicky Soto, 27-year-old teacher, who as the bullets were flying towards her children, she flung herself in front of them in order to protect them, giving her own life. They gave their lives to try and protect the young children. That's love. That is love. Jesus' death was not, in a sense, for our protection, but was for our salvation, to save us from our sin. He was the propitiation. He bore the wrath of God on the cross so that we would not have to. He satisfied God's justice and the Father's holiness. Here is love, vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood, when the Prince of Life, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood. Who his love will not remember? Who can cease to sing his praise? He can never be forgotten throughout heaven's eternal days. on the Mount of Crucifixion, fountains opened deep and wide. Through the floodgates of God's mercy flowed a vast and gracious tide. Grace and love, like mighty rivers, poured incessant from above, and heaven's peace and perfect justice kissed a guilty world in love. We all need to acknowledge and remember that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Therefore, we're all guilty. Every one of us has broken God's law. We are sinners. Every one of us. But the good news is that a Savior has been born. Love has come. We rescued through the person, the ministry of Jesus Christ. All we have to do, repent of our sin and believe in the name of Jesus Christ. That's what Scripture says. It's the Word of God. Repent and believe, and you will be saved. For it's not by works we're saved, it's by grace that we are saved, through faith, through believing. It's a message of love. It's a story of love. Have you received that love yourself? Have you? Or do you have a wall built up, still thinking that you can make it on your own? That you can somehow please God, that all your good works, being a good father, being a provider for your family, or loving your children, meeting all their needs, do you think that's going to sway God's opinion? Do you think that's going to bring salvation to your life, forgive you of your sins? It's not. It's only through the grace of God that we can be saved. By simply admitting, yes, Lord, I'm a sinner. I acknowledge that. I've done wrong. I've broken your laws. And then cry out in humility. Say, God, save me. Be merciful upon me, a sinner. And then receive God's love. What a great gift to receive. If you haven't done that, what a great gift at this Christmas season that would be for you. To place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. A Savior has been born because we need a Savior. Troubled minds can know His peace, and captive hearts can be released. That's how a sinner can know such joy, because of Jesus. The wounds of love are in the hands of Jesus, but the price was paid for sinful man. We're accepted children, we're sons of God, all because of Jesus, the advent of love, the coming of a Savior. And so, over the next few days, when you gather with family and you have cultural traditions that are remembered and celebrated, don't forget about Jesus, the King of Love, who has come into the world to save us from our sin. Going to ask the worship team to come, and they're going to lead us in a song that we can respond with at this time.